Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, here we go. Welcome, America.
Terrible.
Welcome back, Blog Talk.
Rob, yeah. we don't even talk junk about Block Talk right now because, you know, it's still early, man. So, but Block Talk, if you act up, we got some contingency plans for sure. So that's all we're going to say. So, you know, I don't even know. Hey, yeah, we had a, it wasn't supposed to be off because Block Talk decided to have some. But it's all good. We're here. We're back at it.
Man, it's
all good. Yeah, it was one of those things, you know. So, again, welcome to another This Time Sports with the 12 Men. We are officially into draft week. We have so many things to talk about. NBA playoffs, baseball, football, college. I mean, it's a lot of things to discuss, too. But, again, we got to start off checking with the fellas. As we always like to do, Rob, Gary, I'm gonna start with JQ, man, because apparently JQ was pretty on fire coming into the chat, man. So, how you feeling, man?
Oh man, I'm just messing with y'all a little bit. I'm good, man. You know, living life and ready to talk because I probably won't be able to be on the next 2 weeks because I have to be out of town for work. So you know, I'm ready to get it started. You know, hopefully, like you said, Blog Talk don't mess us over tonight, and we'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed for sure.
Fingers crossed.
Rob Ford. Yep.
Yeah, Block Talk, man. At this point, y'all been coming through for us every other week, so we need to get back on track, Block Talk, man. We're calling y'all out tonight. But, hey, you know, hey, glad we're here tonight. As Dre mentioned, a lot to talk about. NFL draft this week. NBA playoffs this week, so it's all good in the sports world, you know. Didn't have any asparagus today. You know, I had some good celery and hummus today for lunch, but tonight, man, had some slamming ribs and some collard greens, man. Good old-fashioned meal.
Yeah, because you were starving because you had celery and hummus for lunch. What the hell?
I know, right?
Are you a rabbit?
Gotta rock some calories, man.
Yeah, you watch them hard, right? I mean, so that had some celery and hummus for lunch. I'd be so mad at a motherfucker at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if all I had was some celery and hummus. Like, don't schedule no afternoon meetings for me. I'm going to be angry.
I survived. But
yeah,
it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm a little hungry right now.
I bet you were.
Yeah, celery, hummus is pretty good. I mean, I'm not gonna hit on hummus, man, but it's just not enough.
not for a whole meal. He didn't include nothing else. He said I had celery and hummus for lunch and kept it moving. Like, damn.
I have my in between snacks, like a sumo, some cashews.
Oh yeah.
That ain't about. But where do you have ribs for dinner?
Right.
I'm going all in.
This is the celery.
Yeah, it's all good.
Man.
Gary, what's up, my guy? Yeah. And in America, take a shot every time Rob says asparagus moving forward. Go ahead, Gary.
Doing all right. Just dealing with, you know, I had this pool put in, and they destroyed my yard.
First world problem.
And my sprinkler system. Ooh. So now I'm dealing with all that. I'll be laying 2,000 square feet of sod this weekend. So Ooh. Rob, you want to come on up, help me lay some sod this weekend? I'm inviting you up.
Shit, he's going to pass out trying to do that on Cellar and Hummus. He can't help you with that.
But you're going to feed me, Gary. No, I'm kidding.
Anything you want after that.
He's not kidding. He's actually pretty serious, believe it or not. He is trying to figure out what you're doing, man. So.
I got to come up with something quick. Come on, what do I got to do this weekend?
All good, all good. You know, I had a little wedge salad with a little grilled chicken on the side. That was, you know, that was my dinner. So I was trying to like do something, you know, a little light. So I love salad, man. Look, it's crazy. I love it, man. It's all good, man. It's good for you, man. So, you know, embrace it.
Yeah, I
embrace
know.
Embrace it, man.
I'm a fat ass. Yeah, I'm not doing none of that.
Famous Caesar salad for me.
See? We're sharing our foodies here, man. It's all good, man. So, again. It's all good. Hey, let's really quick go on the numbers for those who want to reach out to Blog Talk for this particular Blog Talk episode. It's always the same. I hope Naj is doing okay, man. You know, I'm going to speak it out. Maybe he'll call in too. But the number to call is the 424-243-9519.
He's probably been looking for us on the Blog Talk,
isn't he? Yeah, well, that's another conversation. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12 man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So we got a lot of things to discuss, gentlemen, so let's jump right into it. I think this is definitely JQ was right. I think he did put this to F with JQ because the first topic right out of the gate is what Jamal Murray did last night to the Lakers, man. And, you know, JQ and or LeBron was not happy about that. So with the officiating here, so JQ, the floor is yours, man. So you can kind of do whatever you want, man. So there you go, man. Go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna put on the officiating. LeBron's tripping for that. You had a 20-point lead, bro. It shouldn't come down to one shot. Again, you know, who's your daddy? At this point, it is what it is. Like until they can find a way to close one of these games. You talk about it. These first two games have been games to the fourth quarter. You talk about last year and that sweep. These weren't 20-point blowouts in these games, in that sweep last year in these first two games. The Lakers have been in the game and or have had leads, and last night they had a 20-point lead. Darvin Ham, bro, I can't with him. Like, the pick and roll is working, and then we just stop running the pick and roll. The Lakers can't close. They get up, they're in the game, first, second, third quarter, and like clockwork, Denver walks them down, takes the lead, and wins the game in the fourth quarter. And it's happening like that almost every time they play each other. And at some point, you have to make an adjustment. You have to, and I've told you guys a long time ago, these coaches with these regular season rotations in the postseason just drives me crazy. I know you can't burn them out, but at the same point, you're saving them for another round. What if you don't make it to the next round? Like, you got to make it to the next round, and then you figure that shit out later. Like, these substitution patterns and changing the game plan, like it's game 36 of 82, nah, bro. This is for a chance to go win that Larry O'Brien trophy. And you got to seize momentum, and you got to stay with your players that are hot. At Darvin Ham, you got to go. He's got to go.
Well,
it seems like they
completely went away from Anthony Davis in the second half in that pick and roll. Would you agree with
correct.
That?
Yeah, and that's coaching. And that's
and
what I'm saying. You go away from
that.
It. That's Darvin Ham trying to be the smartest person in the room. And it's like, what are you doing? You stay with what's working. And then damn the rest. You should have won the first game. You blew that. You got a 20-point lead in this game. You got to stay with what's working. You got to send a message, hey, we're tired of this shit. Of getting knocked out from the fourth quarter every time. He's just not a good coach, bro. He isn't. And it is what it is. But I'm not going to blame the officiating because if you have a 20-point lead, it should never come down to that.
Yeah, totally agree. Yep, you can't blame the officials for that, and they got to figure out a way to close those basketball games. Easy said and done. Denver is a really good basketball team, and might have the best player in the world on their team, Nikola Jokic, right? So it's definitely easier said than done, but there were definitely some missed opportunities, and I think JQ hit the nail on the head. I thought Darvin Ham did a horrible job with his rotations on last night. And, you know, in the playoffs, that's when you shorten your bench. You get a little bit more rest in the game. You're not playing back-to-backs in the playoffs. So this is, you know, an opportunity you have to go to a 7-8 man rotation by the time you get to playoff time. You got to be playing your best players, and one of the reasons why the Lakers went out and got Gabe Vincent this offseason is because he defended Jamal Murray so well in the NBA Finals last year, even though the Nuggets still won the championship. I mean, he did a phenomenal job in defending Jamal Murray in the Finals. Now, obviously, Gabe Vincent has been out a good bit this season, so Darvin Ham hasn't quite trusted him. But we haven't seen enough of Gabe Vincent on Jamal Murray in these first two games, in my opinion. Now, like I said, you know, he's been out most of the year, and it doesn't seem like Darvin Ham is trusting him yet. But that was one of the main reasons why they signed him, and we just haven't seen that yet in the playoffs. But, you know, they're going back to Los Angeles, and obviously the Lakers have to win games 3 and 4 in order for them to have a shot of coming back to win this series. They lose one of these games at home, and it's over.
Oh, yeah, it's a wrap.
Anything else in that, Gary?
Right.
I don't know if you got to add to that.
No. I think the Lakers will probably win one of these games.
Gentlemen sweep. And, you know, maybe Darvin Ham should be focused on some meditation, what Jamal Murray does to kind of help him get into that big moment, you know. But, you know, that's what's working for Jamal Murray. He's actually meditating. He's taking the time to kind of concentrate. And, you know, right now, seems to be working. Sorry, JQ, I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm just saying it's just kind of tough, man. So, but
yes, you are. That's okay. Go take that. The home people are going to laugh. So you go ahead and laugh.
I am not laughing at me. I'm not laughing, man. This is, if you want me to laugh, I will laugh straight up, man. Not at the situation.
You was laughing. It's okay. You was laughing. It's fine.
I wasn't laughing.
Your old ass
I was laughing.
Going to break up the words anyway. So it's fine. You go ahead and chuckle.
Okay. I wasn't laughing at that situation. I was laughing at Jamal Murray. I was like, I thought it was a good joke about meditation, man. I wasn't laughing at the Lakers, but now, you know, okay.
No.
Okay.
It's
I see
fine.
What's going
it's
on
fine.
Now.
I hear the
okay.
words immersed in
okay.
your voice.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
And this
okay.
is not to
okay.
take any
we'll
shots at the Lakers, but that was a clutch shot by Jamal Murray, and it hit that over Anthony Davis, too, fading away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely a money big-time shot. That he made, and, you know, definitely proven why he's a star. You know, he missed a lot of – I think he only played 59 games this year, so he missed 23 games. But the games he played this year, when you look at his stats, he had another phenomenal year this year. So,
I'm on the couch too, damn it.
That's all right. He was on the couch first. Go get the popcorn ready.
That's okay. That's right. I'm going to get on the couch. That's okay. Chinzo hitting that shot, man. Again, we'll talk about some interesting that's going down too. So what a clutch shot. Very interesting what happened again. I ain't mad because, you know, Philly can suck it too, man. So again, it's all good.
Damn.
What happened with Tyrone Maxey? You know, that was interesting. What happened? You know, he was trying to Nick Nurse was trying to call a timeout. The official like ran right by him. Oh man, that was crazy. Yeah, I can laugh at that too. So, again, but big shot by, you know, Dante, if you will. So, Rob, what do you say about this, man?
You know what's next? Everybody's going to say there's a New York City bias trying to keep New York in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, the lottery was fixed when the Knicks got past Ewing.
They got
the
envelope, man. Come on, man. We ain't had number one draft pick since, like, 1966, man. That's some bullshit, man. Come on. Man, how do the Suns lose when you got Bradley Beal, you got freaking Devin Booker, and you got Kevin Durant? Okay, well, I'll give you that because the damn.
Frank Vogel is struggling trying to get help off that bench, man. He's getting no help off that bench, man. None. Zero. And then little Charmin Tissue soft in the middle, right? And they don't really have a true point guard either, right? You know, when you got Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant on the perimeter. So, I mean, you know, they definitely got the star players. They gave it a shot. But, and hey, they swept Minnesota in the regular season, too. I mean, they beat them all three times. And some of those games weren't even close. But it's a different ball game to get in the playoffs. The game is a little more half court. Minnesota's got Twin Towers in the paint. And the Ant-Man, that Joker, man, he's a freaking nature man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mike Conley is a good defender as well, a legitimate point guard as well. They could possibly challenge Denver in the next round. You know, we'll see. But they took things to school. And how about Indiana, man? First road team to win in the playoffs. Man, I like the way they play, man. They're an up-and-down team. I know that's Andre's neck of the woods from Indiana, but Rick Carlisle, they play a fast-paced brand of basketball. Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam. Play an exciting brand of basketball. I said before the series starts, if they don't get Giannis back for this series, Indiana can definitely win that series.
He's so stupid. But I hear from everywhere, man. I got people in Sacramento. I got people in Indiana. I go to San Antonio. That dude is just nationwide. Everywhere is Andre's backyard.
We're going to welcome Naja's show, but if you
we're
didn't
start
know.
Calling him Worldwide Drake.
If you didn't know, I mean, you know, we don't get a chance to talk a lot about, you know, I know I don't open up to you guys. You guys be talking shit to me, but my dad was a truck driver. So we moved around a lot as a kid. So I have a lot of situations. I used to live in Kansas. I live in Utah. I live in New Mexico.
Why are you even listening to that? I'm just messing with you.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying that's kind of like why I got different people in different. I'm explaining, you know. I ain't
that's
got
why he's got so many teams,
saying,
JQ. He's a Pacers fan. He's a Colts fan. He's a Hoosiers fan. He's a Falcons fan.
Listen, Rob. There's a whole bunch of people that can say that, but you're not one. You have a different jersey on every time you come on here. So pot meet kettle. Like, we can talk about him, but you can't be the one to talk about him because you got more teams. Look at you. You're sitting in a Milwaukee jersey right now. Sorry. Don't need to derail the show. You see how like the dudes are? They don't know how to act.
I do this. I'm preparing for us to be on live television so they can see that I'm representing the nation, right? So when we get Facebook Live,
you
they get to see
that
I'm representing
shit.
The country.
You didn't buy that jersey for the day. You already had that jersey. Stop it.
I will say that.
That was a nice try, though.
I will say this.
You almost got that out with a straight face. Almost.
Right.
I do plan on getting us on YouTube, so we're going to have a YouTube thing because I think that's going to – we got to get monetized, Rob. So keep on with the jerseys, man, because, again, the more we're going to see what type of jersey Rob has, this week, you know. So that's something that we're going to definitely work on for sure, man, because, you know, especially with Blog Talk is active. Naj, what's going on, man? You all right, man?
And I'm wearing his bus jersey even after he got whipped tonight.
No, I'm chilling, man. I'll know when you made those moves when every show – the whole damn A block is packed in with Lakers and Cowboys. Oh, so how the Lakers do yesterday? How the Cowboys? That's when I know you made the pivot to YouTube. Trying to get them hit, baby. That's what the game is now, man. It's ugly out here. What's going on?
You know, and it's funny because Naj, I don't know if you heard me. I said, man, I haven't heard from Naj. I hope that he calls in. And then the fact that it actually manifested, I'm getting my lottery ticket, man. That's what's going to happen, man, because it was amazing how that literally just happened, you know. So. Anyway,
speaking of the devil,
stuff,
he
man.
May appear.
I was in the band.
I can't do it.
That's exactly what it is. That was exactly what it is, man. It'll be very painful for you.
That's my dog forever, dog. If I catch that movie 15 minutes in or 45 minutes in, I'm sitting down and watching it, dog. It is what it is.
Right. You're right, man. I'm the same way. It's good. It cracks me up. All right, let's get to some stuff. Rob, the time to put all these topics in here, even though, Rob, all you had to do was NFL mock draft. We're going to talk about that for probably 40 minutes. But we're going to get through a couple things.
That's what
we're
going to talk
about. Mock draft number 19. You know, I'm going to get this in there really quickly, Rob, and then we're going to literally talk about what happened because, you know, Zach Wilson getting acquired by the Broncos, kind of like a desperation move, I feel. What does it mean for the quarterback room? Everyone's doing smoke screens right about now. We're talking about what's happening. You got some anonymous folks talking about, you know, he'd take Jaden Daniels over Williams. You know, this is all this kind of crap, man. You know, so then we got to talk about what's happening.
and what's happening too. So, Rob, you can do your real quick thing. I got to get everyone's thoughts about this, about Embiid. Naj, you want to get in there really fast, everyone, but we got to talk NFL, man. NFL's king right here, man, because we're literally 2 days away from the draft.
Okay, I'm a little confused. What are we talking about right now?
Talk about Embiid. We can get that in there real quick, man. We don't care about that. And, whatever, yeah.
Oh, Joel Embiid. I knew you were going back and forth, draft Embiid. I don't know which one we're talking about.
Get this shit out of the way.
Joel Embiid, obviously,
you're
going to
stop disrespecting the beautiful game. It's fantastic. You're going to stop disrespecting it.
I know.
Come on, man. We're talking about the player. The playoffs are going through June. The draft is this weekend. We're talking about the draft, so, yeah.
All right. I'll keep it brief with the Sixers. Shout out to Tyrese Maxey winning the NBA Most Improved Player. That was officially announced on today. But obviously a tough
loss
for the Sixers on last night. Hey, those Nova Knicks, man, Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Jason Hart, all those guys played together at Villanova, and it's translating to the Knicks right now. They're a tough group.
Josh Hart.
I'm sorry. What did I say? Jason Hart. I went back.
Yeah.
I went back to Syracuse days.
Yeah, you did.
Josh
Your
Hart.
Old ass.
So, I mean,
he might still be there. That boy's in college forever. That's true.
Jason Hart, by the way, is an assistant coach for the Kentucky Wildcats, too. But a new coach, Mark Folk, hired him as well. So maybe that's why I'm impressed with his head here. But anyway, getting back to the matchup, if you're the Sixers, you got to be frustrated here. Just like Joel Embiid said, they could have very well won both of those first two games. And Rick Brunson hadn't shot the ball well at all in those first two games, and they still lost.
Come on, old person.
Going home.
Rick Brunson did. I said, come on, old person. You said Rick Brunson. Taylor Brunson.
Oh, man. I messed up again. Jalen Brunson.
Oh,
I went back to his dad.
He said Rick Brunson. He said Rick Brunson. We're like, what? Wait a minute. John Barry.
Wow.
Y'all know what I mean.
Rick Barry doesn't
say Brunson.
Rick Barry doesn't know what he's right about
now. Brunson hadn't shot the ball well in both games, and Knicks still find a way to win. So that's not a good sign for the 76ers now. Joel Embiid, hey, he's tough. He predicted that the Sixers are going to come back and win this series. So we'll see what happens. But just like I said with the Lakers, the Sixers have to win both these next two games at home. They're going to have a shot. They could have easily stolen at least one of those games. Obviously, the Knicks had a fury to come back and win at the end of the game. DiVincenzo with a big shot. But like I said, those Nova Knicks, they're tough. They seem to be a better team without Julius Randle, too. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. In the off season going forward, but yeah, we'll see.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, we're going to briefly talk about what's happening with, obviously Zach Wilson, I'm making sound like Rob over here, getting acquired by the Jets, man. So, who wins the trade? My bad, Rob.
Well, I think it's
straight bullets.
I think it's easy to figure out who won the trade. I think the Jets won the trade by just getting rid of them, right? So, I mean,
get some in return.
Yeah, they get a 6-round draft pick. I mean, not much, but hey, they got rid of them. They got a salary off the books. They get a they swap draft picks. The Jets get a 6-rounder. The Broncos get a 7-rounder. Hey, I say it's a win for the Jets just by getting them off your roster.
But the Jets still got to pay part of the salary, though.
But it's addition by subtraction. You get somebody like that off your roster. You get a new fresh start for him. You get a new fresh start for your organization. And, hey, the Jets, you got to think about long-term at the quarterback position now. How long is Aaron Rodgers going to play? You know, there are a lot of rumors that the Jets may be looking at taking the quarterback in this draft as well. So we'll see. And at what point are they going to look to take a quarterback, right? Are they going to look in the first round, second round, third round? But at some point, they're looking to take a quarterback in this draft. Aaron Rodgers
Jordan
is 40 Travis. Years old, and he's coming out of the draft. I got Jordan Travis going to the 6th round, so I actually got the Falcons taking him in the 6th round right now.
If I'm the Jets, I would take Jordan Travis, but I'm with you.
I mean, we know what it is. They're not taking one early. because A-Rod will bang on that office door and curse everybody out and start coming up with conceits on how they trying to sabotage him. So it's not going to be an early pick. So if they do get a quarterback, yeah, it's going to be late, man. We've seen the 50 with Jordan Love. A-Rod don't play that, man.
No, I don't know about
I agree with you. You don't do it this year. Because this year he's like, I'm back, I'm healthy. I almost came back last year. You're going to take a quarterback early. He's going to be in his feelings. I agree with Nas 100%. If you take Jordan Travis coming off to that triple ankle surgery or whatever he just had, you can say, hey, we're going to redshirt him anyway. We want him to learn from you. And then he can say, oh, okay, because that dude ain't ready to play. But anybody closer than that, he's going to have a whole problem. He's going to say, I only got 1 or 2 years left. Every draft pick you should be taking should be about maximizing my year this year and possibly next year. And he will be right. You did all that and traded for him. You gave him all the power. Who else do you have? So you gave him all the power, so he's going to say that, and I was 100% right. Every pick that you take should be about us winning right now. Drafting a quarterback is not about us winning right now. What are you doing? And he's going to get on Pat McAfee show and talk reckless. So, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, Aaron. I agree with everything JQ said there. That was spot on.
But this is the thing. You figure out what happened if you don't have a backup plan. Because right now, if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, you're going to go through the whole shit all over again. You're going to run it back. Robert Saleh, are you going to be like, well, you know, shit, you know, what you going to do? What you going to do? Who's the backup quarterback, JQ? What you going to do? What you going
to
do?
My comeback to you is you barely have 32 good quarterbacks. And if he goes down, who's you gonna get? The dude that you bring in, it's not gonna be ready to play right away, and they're gonna not make the playoffs. And that AFC, they have to have Aaron Rodgers, and it's still gonna be a fight to make the playoffs. If he goes down, it don't matter. I know that defense is good,
that's
and they're trying to solidify things around it, but that AFC is tough. Yeah. Without Aaron Rodgers, they still fight. With Aaron Rodgers, they still fight to make the playoffs. If he's gone, then they don't make the playoffs anyway. And that's what he would say, and I would agree with him. You gave him all the leverage he has. All the leverage.
At least they got a veteran backup this year. They got Tyrod Taylor, who's had
some success
coming in as a backup quarterback, right? He's had some success.
Sure,
I mean, he's not going to win you a championship or anything like that. Can he win? Can he come in and win a couple of games? Absolutely. But, you know, I think their backup quarterback situation is better than it was last year with Tyrod Taylor over Zach Wilson. So. They're going to have to get a quarterback at some point. There's no question about it. To me, I think it depends on the value of when you're picking, right? I mean, let's just say a J.J. McCarthy or a Jaden Daniels just somehow falls to number 10 in his draft, and the Jets can't pass that up, right? I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I just think it comes down to the value of the draft, right?
Wait. I need a 20-second timeout because you put two quarterbacks in that sentence that do not have the same value. There's no way in God's green earth that Jay Daniels falls to 10. Somebody, the Raiders, will move heaven and earth to make that fall stop. Now, J.J. McCarthy
didn't you just
ain't
hear me
nowhere
say
near.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just being hypothetical.
Well, okay, but you put two quarterbacks in that sentence that J.J. McCarthy's sorry ass could fall to 10, as he should fall to 10. Jay Daniels ain't falling to 10. I'll say if J.J. McCarthy falls to 10 and they take him, okay, but I wouldn't be overly shocked if J.J. McCarthy fell to 10. I would turn my TV all the way up to hear all the commentary, and I would put on all the outlets I have in my house if J.J. Daniels falls to 10, because that means that he got found with the gas mask where he was smoking weed or he was slapping chicks. Like something really, 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 really bad happened that we didn't know about came out in draft night and J.J. Daniels falls to 10. That's almost like one is not like the other.
I just said I don't think that's going to happen. But I just said it's hypothetical.
If you just said J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, I was with you. But the Jay Daniels thing means that Jay Daniels went crazy on somebody.
Michael Penix will
be
a
little bit.
Well,
the Jets are just banking on Aaron Rodgers to stay healthy this season. That's what they're banking on. He's getting old. If he stays healthy, they've got a shot at making the playoffs. But that's any of the teams. You know, the AFC is so tough that any of those top five or six teams, if their quarterback goes down, they're done. So,
hey,
Aaron Rodgers is in that group. Yeah.
On that point, I agree. We don't even have to do AFC. Any team that loses their starting quarterback, think about how well Browning played for Cincinnati last year and still what a struggle that was. Like, when we start talking about these frontier, you know, franchise quarterbacks, they go down, yeah, your season's over. Like, it's a wrap, man. There's only so much you can do. And A-Rod, yeah, he wields a lot of power in that building. He will get people fired if things don't go the way he wants. And what he wants is them to be all in, put all the chips on the table. So if you're drafting somebody, they need to be ready to either be a starter or a contributor this year. He's not going to be willing to listen, man. We saw that in Green Bay. That's who that guy is. But as far as McCarthy, man, we got people putting McCarthy number two overall on draft boards right now. There's mocks that have McCarthy number two. That's where we are. We're in Lions season, of course. We always got to throw that qualifier in there. But, man, this quarterback inflation that we deal with every year, I ain't never seen it this bad.
McCarthy, and that's why when you said about Penix, I was like, if J.J. McCarthy goes that high to five or six and somebody gets restless saying, hey, I got to have me one, outside of that championship game, Michael Penix's stock was going up so high. Like, it wouldn't surprise me because we talk about every year, quarterback inflation. Will somebody
Drake
picking
May
up the
agent,
weight?
Fight back. I don't know what Drake May agent doing. Is he drinking? How the hell is all this other stuff going on and Drake May's agent is just, like, chilling? Like, yeah. I mean, he's free-falling on the board, I guess. Like, bro, Drake May got much better taste than this man. How the hell? I don't know, bro.
Mr. Trubisky,
yeah,
that North Carolina thing.
All over the place with Michael Penix in my mock drafts. I mean, right now I got to back down to the second round. I got the Raiders acquiring him in the second round right now. But,
ooh,
you know, he could be in the first round. He could be in the second round. There's still a lot of question marks in regards to his health. That some scouts have some concerns in regards to, but there's no question he probably might have the best arm talent of.
He's throwing
he might have the best arm talent of any quarterback in this draft, right? But when you look at his game tape, I mean, he might have rushed for all of 9 yards last year, right? And the year before that, he might have rushed for 19 yards because he doesn't want to, right? I know he quiet some of the scouts' concerns when he ran a 4.6 at his pro day. But there's a lot of, you know, up in the air, you know, where teams are valuing him in his draft. Like I said, I got the Raiders trading up in the second round to acquire him in the top of the second round right now, my latest mock.
I think Antonio Pierce is in love with him. I think he's going to get him in the first round with fear that he won't be there at the top of the second round. I really do. Especially if McCarthy goes in the top 10.
Yep. And I've had the Raiders taking him in the first round in some of my mocks. But I've done 19 of them now. So it didn't matter.
which
before it's all said and done,
I'll
probably be
20
or 21 by Thursday.
No, I think your second round mock is the correct answer. Like, dude, this man got 2 and 3 knee surgeries. He's been buying beer on campus since his freshman year because he old as hell. Like, bruh. How the hell are we ignoring these bright red flags? No, you know he was. Hey man, we need to go to the liquor store. Go get Mike. He took the liquor store.
I can get Mike.
24, 25, but these days you got quarterbacks playing at 40, 45 years old though, so he might have another 20 years out of him.
That's funny.
Wow.
That's funny.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're gonna let Gary, you're going to talk really quickly about what happens if Dak leaves. Sorry, I'm not laughing at you.
Good.
See, there you go again.
We're not talking about the gas station incident, are we?
Cooper Rush, huh? Is that the answer?
Good.
Wow.
Get him out of there. Let's roll with Trey Lance, I guess. I don't know. They're not going to select the quarterback, so they're going to have to go with one of the bums that they've got, so go with Trey Lance. If he completely falls,
damn,
then go with Cooper Rush. He'll win 4 games.
Be careful
for
what you wish for.
He said go with one of the bums that you got. That is crucial. Wow.
I'm ready to rebuild.
No, you
come
ain't.
Come on. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I'm ready
come
to
on,
rebuild.
That's too far.
That's a bridge too far, bro.
No, it's not. Absolutely
yes, it
not.
He said, no, it's not.
You saw what they, you saw what Dak did. MVP conversation all year long. First game in the playoffs. He stinks it up like a, I don't even, I'm not going to say it.
The defense.
He was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And it's not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. You know, it's the fourth time. So let's move on.
You heard what Troy Aikman said, right? Peyton Manning didn't win a playoff game until his third year or his fourth year, and you saw what happened to Peyton Manning. So sometimes you got to be a little patient. But yeah, no, that defense was awful against Jordan Love. Like they were awful. Like you can't put all that on Dak.
It was
terrible.
Defense. I blame it on the whole team.
No, the defense is terrible, but at the same time, if you're a franchise guy, if you see a shootout occurring, brother, you need to put up some points to keep us in this game and make it competitive. Dak didn't start cooking to the second half when the game was already out of hand. So he deserves the criticism, but to have Dak going into next year with all of the weight on his shoulders and all of the leverage in Jerry's hands, like, y'all got a good situation with that because Dak has to be exceptional this year. Otherwise, hey, man, that clipboard life might be coming for him soon. So, yeah, he got a ball, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good situation.
Yeah, this is where rubber meets the proverbial road.
Sure it is. All right, thanks. Let's get this going here. Rob, here we're going to talk about the mock draft here coming up. Mock draft number 19 posted on our Talking Sports 12th Man page. You know, Rob got some trades in here. You were nice to us. You finally gave us Malik Nabers in this draft, you know, even though I think that there's a possibility that we may trade back to the Falcons, you know. So, you know, again, but I'm not mad at that. So the floor is yours, my guy.
Hey, y'all better hope the NFL don't trade y'all back.
Shut up. That's next year.
Based on the latest tamper. Oh, it's next year?
That's next year.
Mm-hmm.
They said they're going to make a room by this week. They said that it's going to get pushed back. It's not going to happen by this draft. So you can suck it. So, yeah, come on.
Like, shut up.
All right.
I'll start with the top 10.
I'll start with the top 10.
Little tampering never hurt nobody.
For real, man. Stop tampering, man. Come on, man. Illegal tampering. What does that make?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Come on, man.
They said they called Kirk
the
Cousins in a press conference. I was talking to him all along.
Kirk did kind of like, Kirk, shut the hell up, Kirk. Let me yo, man, I'm in contact. Kirk, man, damn it, man. You know, Paige, you shut the hell up, man.
But anyway, I'll try to go through this quick. Top 10. Obviously, all of our listeners can see the entire seven-round mock draft, another complete seven-round mock draft on our Talking Sports with 12th Man page. I'll probably do one or two more before the official draft on Thursday night. So this is mock draft number 19. Still got Job Williams going number one to Chicago. Washington, man, you know, a lot of situation going on with the Jaden Daniels situation here. So we'll see. I haven't Jaden Daniels' agent had come out and released a statement. Jaden Daniels hasn't released a statement. What's the deal with there? You know, I got Washington taking Drake May as of right now, number two. I moved Jaden Daniels down to three to New England. I got Minnesota trading up to number four to take J.J. McCarthy. We can have Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to the Chargers. And J.Q.'s coach Jim Harbaugh. The Chargers let both of their wide receivers go, traded Keenan Allen to the Bears, and they cut Mike Williams. Mike Williams signed with the Jets, of course. Marvin Harrison gives them a weapon that they need. I got Rome Odunze going to the Giants. Brock Bowers, tight end Georgia, going to Tennessee. And as much as they need me to write this, it might be too hard. Malik Nabers might be too hard for the Falcons to pass up, even though they probably would prefer an edge rusher here. Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame to the Bears. And I got the Jets taking Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. I'll go over the Falcons in the second round. The Falcons obviously pretty satisfied with the offensive line, but they want some help at right tackle. Got him taking Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle from Washington. Washington had one of the better offensive lines in the country last year. In the third round, the Falcons have 2 third-round picks. They get Tavondre Sweat, probably one of the better right stuffers in this draft, defensive tackle from Texas. He's only a first and second down player. He's not really a pass rusher, but he is one of the better run stuffers in this draft. And the second, third-round pick, they take Jonah Ellis, edge rusher from Utah. He's actually Caden Ellis' older brother. Jonah obviously plays with the same motor that his brother plays with. He's only 6'2", 248, but he's a heck of a football player. And then in the fourth round, they got the Falcons taking Austin Booker, 6'5", 240. He's also an edge rusher. He's a tremendous athlete, but he's only got a small sample size when it comes to tape. Man, this guy's wingspan, he's got basketball-like wingspan, man, incredible wingspan. Got him also taking Javon Foster, offensive tackle from Missouri. He's gotten better every year. He was a 3-star recruit out of high school. He's also a guy that's got great length, 6'6", 313 pounds. Then Kalen King, he was a cornerback that at one point was thought to be like a second-round pick. Didn't run well. He ran a 4.61, so the stock's kind of falling here. So I got him falling down to a 6th-round cornerback from Penn State. I'm sure JQ seen a lot of him, 5'11", 191. But like I said, is you know, the stock dropped obviously a little bit with his time, 4.61. And then also got the Falcons taking Jordan Travis, who y'all mentioned earlier in the 6th-round from Florida State. We'll jump to JQ's Bengals. Got to take him Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State, his favorite school, next door neighbor from Florida A&M. Edge rusher can also rush the passer and stop the run. In the second round, I got the Bengals taking Peyton Wilson, who's one of the actual fastest linebackers in the draft. He's tremendous at covering the passing game. He's a guy that's been shooting up draft boards. In the third round, the Bengals take Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Y'all probably know he probably
had the best pick
in all of college football of last year. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a tremendous slot receiver at the next level. The Bengals got 2 third-round picks, so I got to take him DJ James, cornerback from Auburn. 4.42 speed, tremendous athlete, got great ball skills. He's a little light in the pan, so he's going to have to get a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
At 6 feet, 175 pounds. But once again, good athlete, good ball skills. Be worth the risk in the late third round. And then in the fourth round, the Bengals tackled offensive line, Tanner Bortolini. How about some pizza and spaghetti? You know, he's a versatile player.
Wow.
He played center and guard. Wow. He started 26 games at Wisconsin. And you can never go wrong with an offensive lineman from Wisconsin. You might go wrong by drafting a corner from Wisconsin, but you can never go wrong with drafting
Peter Collins,
an offensive lineman.
Peter Collins. Peter Collins is bad. That's some bullshit. Keep going. Keep going.
All right.
Sorry, my bad.
The Bengals addressed the safety position pretty well in the free agency, but they get some depth here. Ketan Oladapo, safety from Oregon State, will be a tremendous special team player. Strong safety, 6'2", 216, tough as nails. I mean, he plays tremendously in the box. And like I said, he may not start right away, but he'll be a guy that can help you in special team and give you some depth at that position. Another linebacker, Tyron Hopper, linebacker, Missouri. Another one, a guy that had one of the fastest times in the draft for linebacker, ran a 4.5, and that Missouri team had a pretty solid defense on last year. Then Bengals got a lot of picks, man. Isaiah Williams, wide receiver from Illinois, a guy who was really impressive at the Shrine Bowl, extremely quick, great route runner, and another sleeper pick late in the draft, Miles Murphy, who can play defensive end and defensive tackle, North Carolina, 6'5", 275. He's got 3 years of good production. Only reason he's going this late, he's not a tremendous athlete, but he's got the size that you're looking for at those positions. And last but not least for the Bengals, they're taking Kingsley Iwuakun, offensive guard from Florida, 6'4", 304. A violent player in the run game, needs a lot of work on pass protection. That'll be the main reason why he's going so late in the draft. And I know Gary is excited to hear about the Cowboys. In the first round, they got the Cowboys taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. Here's another guy, tremendous athlete, but got small sample size. This guy could wind up being one of the better tackles in this draft, but, you know, he's going to go late in the first round just because of we just don't have a lot of, you know, tape to see production. But he's one of the better offensive linemen in his day. I think he and Alu Fashanu are probably the two best athletes from an offensive lineman perspective in this draft. In the second round, I got the Cowboys taking Trevon Wallace, linebacker from Kentucky, 6'1", 237, ran a 4.51. In the third round, I got the Cowboys taking Jermaine Burton, who's one of the faster wide receivers in the draft as well, from Alabama. Didn't quite have a good quarterback last year as far as throwing the football, but, you know, could have an opportunity to be a better pro. Then I got him taking safety, Bo Braid, safety from Maryland, 6 feet, 203. Very versatile player, can play both safety positions. Then I got taking Jalen Monroe, cornerback from Tulane, down in New Orleans. Another guy, looks great on tape, but he ran a 4.56 40, so a little slow for a corner. So he's going late in the draft. Tip Raymond, tight end from Illinois. Check out this guy's size for a tight end, 6'5", 271 pounds.
Wow.
270?
Yep.
Wow.
271. He's got like defensive end size, right? Ran a 4.64 40. He's very good, very good run block already. So he'll be able to come in and help you in the run game right from the get go. In the last pick for the Cowboys, he got him taking Cam Allen, safety from Purdue. Ran a 4.65. He'll be a dedicated, strong safety and special team player for you to start out. And last but certainly not least, my beloved Saints. Got us taking Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama in the first round. Obviously, Marshawn Lattimore is starting to get up in age.
Watch
him out. Get some depth. When he's healthy, he's still very good. But he has been healthy the last 2 years. But Paulson,
just tell him Mike Evans on the field. He'll feel better.
Right.
Or he'll play.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
I like that strategy. Yep. He was playing that last game against Tampa. Mike gives Mike Evans. But anyway, yeah, they need to get some depth at the cornerback position. In the second round, obviously the Saints going in a Kyle Shanahan offense this year, led by Clint Kubiak. So he's going to want to have a lot of depth at the running back position. So I got to take him Blake Corum, running back from Michigan, in the second round. This might be a little bit of a luxury pick, but he's probably got the best vision of any running back in this draft. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver from Rice. He's a tall guy, but he's going to be really dedicated to the slot in the NFL. And then here in the fifth round, the Saints take a sleeper, Chigozie Uzomah, who can play cornerback and safety from Colorado State. 6 feet, 200 pounds, guy ran a 4.39. He may not even be available in the fifth round. This is a guy that I initially had as an undrafted player. He's climbing up draft boards. So you may find his way into the third or the fourth round, but I got the Saints taking him in the fifth round right now. Then I got him taking Jaheim Bell with another fifth round pick, 4.61 speed. He's more of a receiving tight end. He's going to have to improve his blocking to play every down in the NFL. And another fifth round pick, Dominique Hampton, safety from the Saints. Got four fifth round picks. We don't have any third and fourth rounders, so they got a bunch of fifth rounders.
That's a happy. They're gonna use one of those to move up.
Yeah, you know they always move up every year.
Yep.
Safety from Washington, 6'2", 215, ton of experience, ran a 4.51. Then when you get into the sixth round, I got him taking Eric Watts, who can play defensive end and defensive tackle, 6'6", with long arms, has all the measurables and athletic skills that you like. He just doesn't have the production on tape. Then his second sixth round pick, they take Beatrick Griffin, wide receiver from Mississippi State, 5'10", 181, 4.43 speed, but definitely needs to get a little stronger. He's definitely lighting the pants there. And then last but not least, Clint Kubiak takes another running back in the seventh round, Rasheen Ali, running back from Marshall, 5'11", 206, another guy both just blocked very well. And has tremendous vision as well. So they're going to run that outside zone scheme like Kyle Shanahan. So they're going to be looking for a lot of depth at the running back position.
the Bengals fans will have a whole – I like Jared Verse, but the Bengals fans after losing DJ Reed to Detroit will have a whole conniption if they don't take a defensive tackle early in this draft. If they don't go defensive tackle or offensive or right tackle early in this draft, it's going to be a problem for Zach Taylor and the people in the Bengals front office.
The people
I'm
the
not
building,
mad, I'm not
the people
mad at it. Yeah, they're going to be hot. I like the Parasol pick, though, in the third round. I love that pick for them. He just never had a quarterback really at Florida. But if they don't address that as some kind of bargain free agency or somebody's practice squad player in the draft, the Bengals fans are going to have a whole problem. The boards are all about it.
They picked up a defensive tackle, right? Who did they pick up from? I know they lost Reeder, but they picked somebody up in this place. Sheldon Rankins?
They did, but Sheldon Rankins' ass is old. Like, I like Sheldon Rankins, but they need to have somebody younger to pair with him to learn off of them. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's craziness. That's craziness here, so. Yeah. Go ahead. So. Nice. What do you got? What do you got to say on that?
I heard JQ try to slip that in there. Parasol never had a quarterback. Sir, you're going to stop this slander of the great Anthony Richardson.
I knew he was going to leave my son alone, but
great breakdown on the draft. I like when you're getting into some of the depth as far as like the traditional way of doing things is over and people are really looking under rocks and looking at athletic profiles more than anything. And they're just deciding, they're not doing the old stuff of, okay, this guy has to fit into this box. They're saying, okay, we got this guy, we can use him in this way and that way. And at that point he becomes valuable to us. So, I agree. Like, just a lot of hybrid stuff you laid out. Some of the linebackers, some of the rushers, especially cornerback safety. That's what the new NFL is going to be, man. It's hybrid players.
Yep.
Teams are more willing to think. And this is kind of why Belichick is not as valuable as he was, because he kind of introduced that to the NFL. But now that's the norm. Everybody does it. So his edges are gone. You know what I'm saying? So, that's great breakdown.
Yeah, it's that immediate kind of defense where you don't have people trying to get you out of the position by rushing people on and off. If you have those people that are already on the field that can play multiple positions, then you don't get caught with your pants down. So I agree with that.
Yeah, and it's really the offense and defensive now. I mean, even from an offensive line perspective, a lot of these teams, you know, like I mentioned, Bordellini from Wisconsin, he's a guy that can play center and guard. And if you get a center and guard in the third and fourth round, I mean, you're expecting those guys to come in and start at some point, right? Because you're not getting a lot of center and guards early in a draft, right? So those are guys that can come in and contribute, you know, right away. So you're looking for guys who's versatile on both sides of the football that can do a lot. And especially in these late rounds, when you look at these fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, you're looking for great athletes that maybe did not have the production, right? Maybe you can coach them up to reach their full potential, right? So you're going to take some risk when you get to those late rounds and try to see if you can get you a great athlete that can do multiple things, and maybe you can get the best out of them that a certain college didn't, right? So you're going to take some risk when you get to those rounds.
Oh, 100%.
I think it's going to be interesting. Go ahead, Nash. I was going to say, you know, and just hopefully this kind of ties into what you're talking about, Naj, because you talk about what – we've talked about routinely what's been deep in the draft, right? It's a very deep draft for wide receivers, you know, very, very deep draft for offensive tackles. Right? So, you know, again, not that deep draft for, you know, for edge rushers, you know, that, you know, obviously you can get some, you know, cornerback, you know, you can talk about that too, linebacker. So you got an interesting situation what happened with that too. So, you know, again, Rob, this is why – There's going to be some surprises, right? Because you know, the question is, will six quarterbacks go in the first round, right? You got five right now, right? So that's the question. Who's that sixth quarterback? If that happens, things get pushed down. You know, there's going to be a lot of some situations where some trading is going to happen. So this is kind of one of those situations where, as you look at everything, it's like, man. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, you can't put the horse back in the barn, as they say, but. I always think back, like, if Chicago decided to kind of keep Justin Fields, if they would have had you know, Marvin Harrison, you know, what that would look like if they would have that too. So, but we're in a different situation, right? And so it's going to be interesting what's going to happen. You know, that's what I'm looking at quarterbacks. As you talk about JQ, like, damn, is somebody going to kind of, what the hell, Bo Nix is going to go before Michael Penix Jr.? Like, that would be a surprise, you know. But what's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's what we got right now in the draft. That you.
I got Bo Nix ahead of Penix. I know last week I had Penix ahead of Nix.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and that's what's crazy, right? And we talk about, you know, you got the Jets taking, you got the Jets taking Dallas Turner. Well, effing Aaron Rodgers go for that. Aaron Rodgers may be like, yo, you better get, you know, Brock Bowers. You better get me a wide receiver. You know, what the hell happens from that? You know, so, you know, that's the
thing. They got Mike Williams.
They got Mike Williams.
Bro.
They
do, but I'm saying you can add no weapons. Yeah, go ahead.
I was drafting offensive linemen.
Look at the investments that the Jets made
in
offensive linemen. Free agency. The
Jets
made tremendous investment in the offensive line this year. They got depth at the running back position. They went out and got Mike Williams. Yeah, you know, if Brock Bowers fall to him, which is a possibility. I mean, I got Brock going number 7 in this mock, but I've had him going as low as 15. So he could be available there for the Jets, right? I mean, that would be a heck of a pick if he's there for the Jets. No question about it, right? But, you know, you got a defensive-minded head coach, too, that realizes, hey, you got a great defense, you're going to keep yourself in game.
The last
tight
end that Aaron Rodgers had.
Oh, go ahead,
Rick. I was going to say, really, the last tight end that was really good with Aaron Rodgers was Jermichael Finley, maybe Mercedes Lewis, something crazy like that. So,
man, you went way back. Aaron Rodgers
was
going
to lose
that
Michael
long.
Finley.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Mark Shemar.
This is Michael Finley. Yeah, we don't speak about him, JQ. We act like he didn't happen in the NFL family.
Oh, sorry, my bad. My bad. Yeah, he's. You're right. My bad. You're right.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. For the Watson.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
I'm just saying. Like
the only disagreement I got is Blake Corum. I think crazy man Harbaugh, Corum, it doesn't matter. He's going to make them do it, and I think he drafts Corum in a way that nobody else would. So I think he makes it out there to charge us somehow. That's the only disagreement I got.
That means try the same dude twice. You got J.K. Dobbins, so you're going to have the same. He's like, hey, 1A and 1B looks exactly the same.
That's funny.
Are you really thinking that J.K. Dobbins is going to make it out of the preseason or training camp? Like, come on, man.
Don't do my man like that. Don't do him like that. I hope
that
man's knee
is chicken noodle soup, man. It is what it is, brother. Like, love him. Draft
Gary wants the whole rebuild for his Cowboys, and it's funny to hear, like, you know, all the running backs that's going to be drafted by the Saints, and then obviously we talk about what's happening with the Bengals, and JQ's like, yo, give me defensive tackle. Give me some offensive linemen and rebuild the wide receivers.
Listen, there's a reason why Andy Reid is successful everywhere that he goes. And that's part of the reason why I love Andy Reid is the fact that he is going to draft in the trenches in every draft. Mm-hmm. He's going to get him an offensive lineman or two. He's going to get him a defensive end or defensive lineman. And he's going to let it sort itself out. And dudes that don't make the cut, they move on to somebody else's team. But he keeps the best of the best. And there's a reason why he risks to repeat. Well, I can do these things. You know why? Because I can pressure the quarterback, and I can run the ball, and I can protect my quarterback.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get us to get to that level.
So you're absolutely right. Hey, Bill Belichick was successful for a long time. And as much as I hate Sean Payton now, I mean, Sean Payton every year drafted in the trenches. A lot of people thought the Saints were a finesse team, but they always drafted in the trenches, offensive, defensive line. So, I totally agree. That's where you win football games at. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of our live portion on tonight. We're going to be back at you, I believe, on our regularly scheduled night next week on Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. I know Indianapolis is in the middle of the country, but it's actually on Eastern time zone. Andre would tell you that. So I'm going to give a shout-out to Indianapolis. Man, y'all got some young stars. Anthony Richardson, shout-out to Naj. Tyrese Halliburton, and now Caitlin Clark. Indianapolis, man. We're going to give a shout-out to Indianapolis. We want to hear from y'all on next Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. that town. Yeah, hey, they call it Naptown for a reason, right?
It is Naptown.
Yeah, because everybody sleeps and nobody
cares. It's a good place to, oh, it's a good place to go watch a game and then go to sleep.
Yeah, because everybody's sleep. That's why they call it Naptown. They shit to do.
There really is nothing there.
Central Town Zone. We're going to give a shout-out to Baton Rouge, Louisiana tonight. Shout-out to the LSU Lady Tigers for winning the Women's Gymnastic National Championship. Shout out to the Lady Tigers. Second year in a row, LSU coming home with national championships. So shout out to the Lady Tigers. And now we're going to go to the Mountain Time Zone. It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone for y'all. We're going to give a shout out to Denver and Jamal Murray with the cold-blooded dagger at the end of the game last night. And then also...
Oh, no.
Salt Lake City is getting a hockey team, y'all. The Coyotes are moving to Salt Lake City.
Tough.
So shout out to Salt Lake City for getting a hockey team. We want to hear from y'all in the Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. next week. And then out west, we're going to go to Old Town 357, L.A., and Seattle. We want to hear from y'all at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Lakers and Clippers, what y'all going to do? Oakland, are y'all going to have any professional sports? In Seattle, or y'all getting the NBA team again? We want to hear from y'all next week, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
So hockey players are going to move to a dry state when they can't buy beer and alcohol? Okay.
I'll talk about that. Hey, really quick, before we wrap this up, appreciate
you, Rob.
What
is the will, there's a way.
We just want to say appreciate everyone for joining. Rob, appreciate, again, 19 mock drafts, man. So, again, we'll hit 20. That's pretty impressive. A lot of love from you, man. So keep going. I will say that I think there's going to be a trade down for my Falcons. You know, I think we're going to get Latu, man. That's what I'm saying, man. So in some quarterback capacity. But if Malik is there, that's going to be really hard as hell to move. But, again, depends on what happens with that too. But, so I was going to say thank you for that, Rob, too, man.
Latu a lot, man. I think he's going to be a heck of a player.
Yeah,
I really do.
Talking about that.
And
yeah,
even though I got him going 25, if it was up to me, he would go a lot higher.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, I think he's too high for eight, man. Yeah, go ahead, Nosh. Go ahead.
And just real quick, is Marvin really that much better than Malik Neighbors? Because what is he going to make, one more Pro Bowl, one more All-Pro? Like, this talk to where it's this huge gap between them two, I'm sorry, I just don't see it, man. I think Malik Neighbors is damn near just as good, but really close to Marvin. But the conversation leads us to think, like, Malik is way far off. And I think Malik is really, really good. And
1A to B minus.
Hey, I got Marvin Harrison ranked slightly higher, but I agree. Malik Neighbors, I think, is not that far off. And I think you got to include Roma Dunze in that conversation, too. He caught the most contested passes of any wide receiver in college football last year. In Roma Dunze, and that's what you need to do at the pro game, right? Now, Malik Neighbors, man, he just gets open. He is just fast. He's shifty, great route runner. Marvin Harrison probably has the little bit more pure athletic ability, and he's got the size to go along with it. He's got that power forward box out ability going up and, you know, catching contested passes as well. So, I mean, I still give Harrison a slight edge there.
Yeah, because Malik Neighbors is going to get open at the strip club. And at the party zone, that's why. When the report come out to say he can't be trusted to go to a big city, and nobody says that about Marvin Harrison Jr. You know Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to play for 10 years. You don't know if Malik Neighbors is going to play for 10 years. He might play him out in three. You already know the reason. Come on. You know why.
That's Ohio State. Well, that is fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Now,
I was
going to
say
this. I don't think that report about Malik Neighbors is true.
I'm messing with you.
But I will say this.
Come on now.
I think Malik Neighbors need a little business maturity. I will say that. So for him to make that comment by Daniel Jones, he shouldn't have said that.
That was
right.
Funny.
He needs to go play in Green Bay. He needs to go play somewhere where they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
He's going to New York.
By the Vikings. Damn, I'm Chris Carter. He got cut.
No.
He got cut from the Eagles.
And you ain't got to worry about Marvin because you can call his daddy on him. He going to act right. You ain't got to worry about nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Marvin Harrison Sr. going to come shoot the club up wherever he is. So, yeah, you don't want those problems.
That's funny. You don't want to prime Madonna. Yeah, I was going to say really quickly, or troublemaker. That's the thing, Rob. because if you think about it, you're talking about very deep class of wide receivers. You may get like a receiver that may have 80% of what, you know, you're not going to get 100%, but you maybe get 80%. So you're like, man, can I, is that something I can work with? You know, that's kind of the situation we're kind of dealing with. You know, you're like, man, can I get away with the Ladd McConkey? Can I get away with the, you know, with the Adonis? You know, there's a couple guys using that. You know, it's such a deep draft, man. So that's, you don't want to get kind of caught in that situation too. So it's like, you know, we talked about Keon Coleman last week. You weren't on the call, JQ. Keon Coleman, he ran like a 4.6, you know, but we're like, damn, who does he remind you of? Anquan Boldin. So, again, another situation that dude catches everything, you know.
Our
so
man Kevin Biscuit, they said he was well popped by Biscuit away from being a tight end. You got to, hey, you got to watch
that's
out.
Funny.
That's
true. That's true, though. That's true, that's though. That's
point,
true,
Andre.
Though. That's true, though.
I got Keon Coleman going in the third round right now. And this is a guy that at one point was projected to go in the first round. I got him going to third. Ricky Pearsall, third round. I mean, these are some, wow. I mean, you, the wide receiver position is deep. And a lot of the
that's good value.
Lot of people not talking about Malachi Corley. Man, this dude
I like Malachi Corley.
Has caught over 200 some passes, man. A lot of people comparing him to the next Deebo Samuel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very deep wide receiver draft. Very deep. I mean,
that's because he was going against Dre in the fly at Western Kentucky. Like, come on, man. That's why. I'm sorry. I'm going to bed. I'm clearly tired. I got to go sleep.
Who did Tyreek Hill go against in college?
But he would have went higher if he had to punch his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach. So,
Tank Dell at Houston. Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick.
That's true. Tank Dell was Tank Dell small. So that's why. But Tank Dell's a baller. Don't get me wrong.
Tyreek
Hill.
Tyreek Hill was a fifth round pick, too. So Tyreek Hill, same thing. Yeah, he was a
third
round pick.
Third round.
So. Was he third? I'm going to look this up. I thought he was a fifth round.
I thought he was
third round. I'll check this. I think it was fifth round. That's the crazy thing. I'll let you know really, really quickly, too, and then we'll let JQ off, man, because I'm sleepy, too, man. So, hold on. Check this out. So,
well,
Tyreek
Hill,
know
because you went to sleep.
Let's see here. I'm going to ignore that comment right now. Let's see here. Tyreek Hill.
I had it being you. Oh, it tells me you sleep. Yeah, I know you are.
He was the fifth round pick of the 2016 draft.
I must bore when I talk about the draft, man. I must bore Drake because he was out.
Gone. That man said
he was a fifth round pick. That's crazy.
All right, y'all. I gotta go to bed.
All right. Peace, JQ.
All right, gentlemen.
Y'all hold it down for your boy next week. I'll be at work conference in Louisville.
Hey, you're right, fifth round pick. Enjoy Louisville, man. It's the bourbon capital of the world, man. Don't overdo it.
Shit, I'm definitely going to overdo it. And I'm a gamble. Oh, I can get on my phone and force that. I'm a gamble. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Sorry. I'm going to bed. Good night, y'all.
You lose all your money, man.
No. We set limits over here.
I know you're a sneakerhead, man. Send me some money for them sneakers.
And link up with Javonte Porter. He ain't got nothing to do now. Link up with him.
Oh,
he might have to play for you.
That shit's hilarious.
Well, he can't give me no player props because he ain't playing no more, so I can't go on his ass for having another 3 rebounds in the whole game. So he's off the list.
All right, y'all.
All right, good night, fellas.
Bye, y'all.
Night.
Night, y'all.